All right, Shavuot, say good morning. Let's begin. So we are picking up today's daf is Kuf Samech Tes 169, and we are picking up on Kuf Samech Tes. We're picking up, Shavuot, say 5 lines down from the bottom. Amar Mar. Oh no, I'm sorry. I take that back. We're picking up Kuf Samech Tes on the base 168b, 6 lines up from the bottom. Tanur Rabbanan. So let's begin. So remember, we're speaking in the topic of lost shtaros. Specifically, again, someone shows up in Beis Din and doesn't have a shtar. Under what circumstances are we able to recreate or reconstruct the shtar? So says the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan. Harei sheba v'amar avad shtari, shtar chovi. We'll say a person shows up in Beis Din and they say, I lost my shtar chov. I lost my loan document. So avapi sha'amru edim anu kasamnu v'chasamnu v'nasannu. Lo, so we'll say, even though witnesses come along and say, yes, we wrote the shtar, we signed the shtar, we delivered the shtar, in close from loas hashtar. We cannot go ahead and recreate, we don't rewrite the shtar. Okay, so we'll say, so again, Bryce is telling us, I show up in Beis Din, I say I lost my shtar, even though witnesses come along and say, we attest to everything, we wrote it, we signed it, we delivered it, says the Gemara, we do not rewrite the shtar. So, Bamed Ramamurim, when is this so? B'shtari halva. Rabbi said, this is by loan documents. Now look at the Rashbam for just a moment. B'shtari halva. It's about 6-7 lines up from the bottom of the Rashbam. B'shtari halva. Afilu im ba'o lichtov chutz me'achrayu shabo in kosvin. Da'asi le'mitraf le'mi b'nei chorei. V'shema lo aved harishon. So the concern over here is that with loan documents, what are we concerned about? That perhaps either the individual does have the first document and he's just hiding it, or perhaps he lost it and he will come and find it. But either way, what we're concerned about is the ability to collect twice. So therefore, again, we will not write a second loan document lest the lender either purposely hide the first one or inadvertently lose it and then find it, and therefore end up erroneously or potentially collecting twice from the same debt. Avashtari mekach umemkar, when it comes to deeds of sale, right, documents of buying and selling, kosvin, ultimately, again, we can rewrite it. We can rewrite it. Chutz min ha'achrayis shebo. With the exception of, we will not put in there the achrayis clause. Take a look at the Rashbam. Avashtari mekach umemkar, im amru edim, Kasavnu v'nasaninu lo, kosvin lo acher chutz me'achrayu shabo. Shabo, so listen to this. So let's say I claim that I went ahead and I bought a field from Ruvain, and witnesses show up, and I lost my deed. I lost my deed. I lost the document. I bring witnesses to Beis, and witnesses say, yes, it's true, Silver bought the field from Ruvain, and they say, we wrote the shtar, we signed the shtar, we delivered the shtar. So again, we could rewrite the shtar based on that. However, there is one thing we will leave out, which is achrayis. We'll say, remember again, we'll talk about this more on Amud Beis, but when you go ahead and you sell land, we'll discuss whether or not there's an automatic assumption, but there's a concept of achrayis. Achrayis means that if for some reason the property is seized by the creditor of the seller agrees to make the buyer whole again. The Gemara is suggesting over here that when you lose a shtar and we rewrite a shtar, we'll rewrite the deed for sale, but we will not include an achrayis clause in there. So the Gemara says, we will not go ahead and include the achrayis clause. So we'll rewrite the document, and we'll discuss why. We'll rewrite the document, but we will not rewrite the achrayis clause. Top of Kuf Samech Tes. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, Af shtari mekach umemkar in kosvin. Shimon Gamliel says, no, even about say documents of sale, we will not rewrite. V'chein chayir Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer. So we'll say, so Reb Shimon Gamliel said as well, that what? This Gemara is now explaining the sheet of Reb Shimon Gamliel. Hanosin matron lechadero. That we'll say, if you give a gift to your friend, and let's say again, I convey the gift through a shtar. So I go ahead and I give a gift to my friend, and I give him a shtar conveying ownership of that gift. V'hechzir lo es hashtar, and my friend returns to me the document, chazra matanoso. The matana goes back with the shtar as well. The chum say matanoso kamis. The chachamim say, no, even if you return the shtar, ultimately, again, the matana is still in effect. So we'll say, so what is this? What's going on over here? Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Top Rashbam, Kuf Samech Tes Amud Aleph. The Rashbam says, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Omer Afilu B'shtar Mekach Omemkar In Kosin. The Svirulei, Osios Niknos B'Mesir. We'll see this on Amud Beis today. Shimon Mil holds, we'll say, that ultimately, again, documents can be conveyed, or I should say, that which is contained within documents can be conveyed simply through giving over. Which we'll say, Shimon Mil holds, that if you want to transfer an item, all you need to do is give over the document. And once you give over the document, you acquire ownership over that which is expressed in the document as well. We're going to further develop this. So look at the Rashbam. He says, Gabi matana v'chashinan dilma la'achar shekasu v'nasal l'shtar. So listen to this. So by matana, which is what the Gemara just quoted, I give Reuven a matana, and I convey the matana to him through a shtar. If Reuven gives me back the shtar, then what? He has effectively given me back the matana as well. That's Rav Shimon Gamliel's shita. If he gives me back the shtar, he gives me back the matana. How does this matter for our case? So the Gemara says, in our case, Rav Shimon Gamliel is concerned about is the following. V'chashinon dom la'achar shekasu v'nasno l'shtar ha'mechira hechzir lo lokeach ze l'mocher ha'shtar v'chazir lo mekcho kidamrin gad matana. So what Rav Shimon Gamliel is concerned about is the following. That maybe in this case over here, where I show up in Basin and I say that what? I lost my shtar. My shtar mekach u'memkar. I bought a field from Reuven, and I claim that I lost my shtar. What are we concerned about, Rabbi? So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, we're concerned, maybe I didn't lose my shtar. What did I do with my shtar? What did I do with it? I returned it back to Reuven. Rabbi said, now what's the impact of returning a shtar back to Reuven? So Rav Shimon Gamliel suggests that when you return a shtar, that is tantamount to what? Returning the object itself. Returning the object itself. Therefore, again, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, we won't even write shtari mekach u'memkar. So we'll say, what we have over here is a machlokes. We have the Rabbanan saying that if I show up in Beis Din and say that I lost my shtar, can Beis Din reconstruct it for me? So the Rabbanan will say, it depends. For shtari halva, for loan documents, no, we will not reconstruct it. We're not actually out of concern that you may be trying to illegally collect twice. However, again, with shtari mekach u'memkar, with documents of sale, we will reconstruct it, but without the achrayas clause. Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying, no, we will not reconstruct even shtari mekach u'memkar, because we are concerned that maybe the reason you don't have the document is because why? Because you went ahead and you returned it to the quote-unquote original owner, and returning the document to the owner effectively returns the land to the owner as well. Amar Mar, suppose now we're going to go back and... Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. We're going to go back and we're going to investigate this a bit more. Amar Mar, chutz mi'achraya shibos. Remember again, what did we say? We said that according to the Tanakhama, according to the Rabbanon, so you could write shtari mekach u'memkar, you could reconstruct a sale document, but without the achrayas clause. So my timer, we'll say, why can't I include the achrayas clause in there? Amar Rav Safra, remember again, this goes back, we learned this yesterday, because you cannot write two shtaros on one field. What are we concerned about if you write two shtaros on one field? We're concerned about the following. Dilma azil balchov tarif leilahai. Because let's play this out. I went ahead and I bought a field from Reuven. So now what happens? Reuven has a creditor who had a debt against Reuven prior to the sale of his field to me. See, the pre-existing lien on the piece of property that I bought. So what happens? I purchased the property from Reuven, and then what happens? Reuven's creditor comes along and takes the field from me. So not a problem. V'azolhai umafik chad v'tarflukuchos. So I'll say, so what happens? So I go ahead, I now have achrayis. And therefore, what do? I go back to Reuven. So let's say Reuven has no property to his name anymore. He sold off all his assets. So what can I do? I can go and seize property from someone who Reuven sold to after the date of my transaction. So I can go back and I could seize other sold property. But Amrli Lebalchov, so we'll say, what we're concerned about over here is collusion. We're concerned about collusion between Reuven's creditor and me, the person who purchased a field from Reuven. The Balchov will go ahead and seize the property from me the first time in satisfaction of his pre-existing debt. And then what happens? I, in return, go and seize a field from someone else who Reuven sold to, who purchased after the date of my purchase. I go and I seize property. And then what happens? I say to the Balchov, come back and seize property again. Right? Let's pretend like you did not yet satisfy your debt. We'll discuss the problems with this arrangement. That's like you did not yet satisfy your debt. Go ahead, seize property from me. Well, first I say to him, Shofli Dikumba, give me a little bit of time now that I can get settled in this new piece of property. Vahadr ta tirfan, come back and seize it from me. Umapik achrina, and so go ahead, come back and seize it from me. Go ahead and take the piece of property. Vahadr azil taraf lekuchos achrini, and I will go ahead and what? Seize property a second time as well. So we'll say, what the Gemara seems to be saying over here is the following. We are concerned that if Beis Din writes for me, so remember, I bought a field from Reuven. I'm showing up at Beis Din. I'm saying, Beis Din, I lost my shtar. Edim come and say, yes, Silber bought a field from Reuven. We wrote the shtar. We signed the shtar. We delivered the shtar. So fine, let's rewrite the shtar. Beis Din says, fine, we'll write the shtar, but we won't include in it an achrayis clause. And we'll say, what are we concerned about? We're concerned that maybe either A, I'm hiding the first shtar, or B, I really did lose it, but I'll find it. Now, they're both saying, when I find it, it turns out that what? I now have two shtaros that both have an achrayis clause on it. I could therefore enter into collusion with one of Reuven's pre-existing creditors. Because what's going to happen? Reuven's creditor is going to come along. He's going to seize my property in satisfaction of his debt. And we're in collusion together. I say, no problem. You could seize from me, because what am I going to do? I'm going to seize from someone else. Someone else who Reuven sold to. So I go ahead, fine, that's the document. I want to now seize the piece of property. I say, creditor, give me a couple of months, let me get settled. Come back, hit me again. Right? Come back, seize the property again in satisfaction of your quote-unquote debt. And it's okay, why? I have a second shtar with achrayis, and I'll once again go ahead and what? Seize a second piece of property. So we'll say if there are two shtaros, both with achrayis, I have the ability to illegally seize, well, it's legally one piece of property, but illegally seize a second piece of property and enter in collusion with Reuven's creditor. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. That can't happen. I'll tell you why. The chayven de karani l'shtar de malve b'mayah hadu tarifle. We'll say, here's the problem. In order for the creditor to go ahead and collect from me, he needs what? He himself needs a shtar. After the first time he collects, I will say, what do we do? We Beis Din tears up his shtar. In other words, Beis Din doesn't let a creditor walk around with a shtar that's been satisfied, because again, that would allow the creditor to illegally collect. Once the creditor collects the first time, his shtar is torn. Once his shtar is torn, then what? He no longer has the ability to collect, in which case, collusion becomes impossible. V'chite modelo karane. So maybe you'll say, we're talking about a case where, sir, for some reason, the creditor's document was just never torn. Rav Nachman said, we'll say, now listen to this. Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment before we read this inside. It's actually a very important Rashbam. But I will say, it's in the shortest lines, three lines before it gets intermediately wide. Rav Nachman, listen to this. Kahu Seder. I will say, this is the order, ultimately, again, of collection of a debt. Malve. Bala Bezin. So we'll say the lender comes to Bezin, Vitsoik Al Halova, Shifra Lochobel. So we'll say, so the lender comes to Bezin, and he goes ahead and he yells at the Lova. I guess the Rashbam is just talking about what normally happens. Right? He goes ahead and yells at the borrower to pay him back his debt. What happens? Umazmina Leila Lova Bedina. So they summon the borrower to Bezin. So step number one is, let's say the Lova does not comply. Either he's a no-show, or he claims he has no assets. So Beis Din writes, we'll say step number one is what's called a shtar tirfa. Shtar tirfa means a document of literally collection, which gives me, the lender, the right to go and investigate the holdings of the borrower, to see what the borrower has. So I find a piece of property that the borrower owes. I find it in city A. I show my shtar tirfa to the Beis Din of that city. That local Beis Din, then Rav Osei gives me what's called a shtar adkarta. The adkarta, Rav Osei, essentially enables me to go ahead and what? Enables me to go ahead and collect that property that I found. Then what happens? Fine. Shtar hatirfa yikrenin. Rav Osei, when Beis Din gives you the Shtar Tirfa. So the Shtar Tirfa was the document for the original Beis Din to allow me to investigate the holdings of the borrower. Now I've identified a piece of land that can satisfy my debt. I give my Shtar Tirfa to Beis Din. Beis Din tears up my Shtar Tirfa, and they give me what's called a Shtar Ad Karta. That Shtar Ad Karta now gives me the ability to ultimately collect. He goes on, V'yitra Beis Din Achar, V'yashuma HaNuchasim Kedin Shumas Beis Din, Kedin Farsha Babakama. Then again, Beis Din evaluates the actual value of that property. U'kafi HaShuma Yikhim B'chobo V'yikhtivu Lo Beis Din Shtar Shumas Nuchasim. We'll say, then after my Shtar Ad Karta, Beis Din goes ahead and evaluates the property. They write for me what's called Ishtar Shumas Nechasim, an evaluation document. L'das kama kibbe musham de shuma hadra li olam kishay ma'amas lava fine. Kishay no Beis Din Shtar Shuma. Yikirinu Ad Karta peyak sovishah. So we'll say, so essentially, every time you want to collect the debt, you pretty much go, assuming that the lova does not have assets, your claim doesn't have assets, you first get the Shtar Tirfa, then you get the Ad Karta, then you get the Shtar Shuma. Rabbi said, the idea is you can never have two of these documents simultaneously. You get one of these documents at a time, and each time you progress to the next document, the previous one is torn up. Beis Din does not let you walk around with more than one document at any particular stage. So the Gemara said, the Chitim, so remember again, we're wondering how could the creditor go ahead and potentially collect twice from me. So Gemara says, after all, wouldn't his loan document be torn up? So Gemara says, well, maybe they didn't tear it. That's impossible. Amar Rav Nachman, kol tirfa delok siv bay karad l'shtar demilva laf tirfa hu. We'll say, after all, any shtar tirfa where it's not written in there that we tore up the loan document is not a good shtar tirfa. V'cholat karta lo kosib be karani le tirfa lav ad kartahu. And any shtar tirfa, any ad karta where it's not written in there that we tore up the shtar tirfa is not a good ad karta. V'chol shuma lo kosib be karani le ad karta lav shumahi. And I will say any shtar shuma where it's not written that what we tore up the ad karta is not a good shuma. So we'll say here what the Gemara is saying is lemaisa. It would be impossible for a creditor to collect twice. It would be absolutely impossible. Why? Because that would presuppose that he's still walking around with that loan document the second time around. But that's impossible. Because the way Beis Din works is, as soon as you, we'll say with a loan document, as soon as you go ahead and you prove that you are owed the money, you should furnish the document, and Beis Din gives you the right to collect, then halacha lemaaseh, Beis Din tears up that loan document. So what's the pshat? To which the Gemara says, oh, lo tzricha dika'asi mikoach ha'avaseh. Oh, Rabbosei, because the case over here is where the creditor is not coming with a loan document. Rather, what is he coming with? He's coming with a claim of money that was owed to his father. So he's coming, Rabbosei, not ultimately with his own claim, but rather an estate claim from his father. See, he doesn't have a shtar for this. He has edos for it, but he doesn't have a shtar. Take a look at the Rashbam. Lo tzricha da'asi mikoach ha'avaseh. Lekach in kosin shnei shtaros. Dechashinan demalav mikoach ha'avah yovo v'itrov. And lo yavo v'yarer kizu hasada gazla me'avosai zeshem achra lecha. So we'll say ultimately again, he's coming with the claim that this field is coming to me, and he's saying this field that Reuven sold to you was in fact stolen from my father. V'hevi edim kizeh sada avosav v'amocher shemachra lezeh gazla me'avosav v'otsu miyado. So we'll say ultimately again, we're essentially setting this up, we'll say, as a case where the creditor is making the claim without a shtar. So because he's making the claim without a shtar, he's making a claim of this was property that was owned by my father and stolen from my father. Therefore, I will say this leaves the opportunity open for exploitation and for collusion. Since there's no shtar, then ultimately what? He has the ability to double dip and to make two claims. So the Gemara says the following. So I will say, so again, let's get refocused. That's why the Gemara is saying over here that even according to the Rabbanan, who say that if I come to Beis Din and claim that I lost my document of sale, I bought a field from Reuven, I lost my document of sale, the Edim come and say, yes, Silver bought it from Reuven, we wrote the Shtar, we signed the Shtar, we delivered the Shtar, Beis Din says, fine, what will they do? They'll rewrite the Shtar, where I will say, no what? No Achrayus clause. Why no Achrayus clause? Because Rabbi said we cannot set up a situation where there's a possibility that I'm going to have two documents of sale, both that have Achrayus, because then there's a possibility of collusion with the creditor of the seller to potentially extract two parcels of land. In order to avoid that possibility, as remote as it may seem, Bezin will write me another shtar that says I own the land, but will not include achrayis in that second shtar. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Rav Acha midiftei Ravina, v'lamalei lemeimar lei lebal chov shofli b'hayara ve'ekumba teifoklei dechivan dinaki treish shtari tarif ahadu v'tarif. So I say, the Gemara just goes back for just a second. In the case of where, when the Gemara was setting up the possible collusion, the way the Gemara set up was the following: that I tell the creditor, come along, seize the property from me. I'm going to go produce shtar number one. Go seize a piece of property from one of Reuven's other transactions. I'll take the piece of property. Give me a little bit of time to get settled in this property, and then come and seize property again. So the Gemara says, if I have two shtaros, why do I have to wait between seizure one and seizure two? Just go to do them consecutively. To which the Gemara says, Imkain, Nefishi Alai Baledin. Because it will say this only works if I operate a little bit under the radar. If at the end of the day I am seizing multiple pieces of property, so it will say the assumption is when you seize a piece of property with an achrayas clause, the person who you're seizing from is not exactly taking this lying down. He may take it to Beis Din as well. So we'll say, if I have multiple Dine Torah operating against me simultaneously, chances are it'll blow the lid off the scheme. So therefore, I have to tell the creditor we need a little bit of time in between the seizures, so that ultimately, again, I can become more self-reliant and no one catches on to what we're doing. Fine. So we'll say, so again, back to where we are. So right now where we're holding is, if I lose my document of purchase, I lose my document of sale that I bought out of that field from Reuven, Beis Din will reconstruct it for me, assuming that I have proper edus, but they will not include an achrayas clause. V'lichtov l'hayshtara ma'alyo, v'lichtov tavr l'mocher. So I don't understand. There's another eitz that the Gemara says. Why not go ahead and write the shtar? Let me show up in Beis Din. Beis Din, I lost my document that I bought the field from Reuven. Here are the edim, the way edim attest to it. Let Beis Din write for me a regular shtar. Well, a regular shtar means a brand new document of purchase with an achrayas clause. You're concerned about the fact that what? That what Rabbo say? That I could double dip? That maybe now I'm going to have two shtars with achrayas? No problem. Just give Reuven a receipt that says that what? That the only way he's chayav an achrayas is if I produce this shtar. I mean, he makes some type of simon in this shtar. This shtar dated as of whatever date. In other words, Gemara is saying you could go ahead and you could create a situation where this shtar that's being written out is the authoritative one. And should I go ahead and either find or be purposely stowing away the first shtar, essentially render it ineffective by giving Reuven a receipt. Shtar is just a receipt. And that receipt says only the shtar that silver produces, or we'll call it only shtar 2, only shtar B that silver produces is effective, is able to generate the achrayas clause. But if for some reason he comes back with shtar number 1, that is ineffective, won't generate the achrayas. To which the Gemara says, V'lichtov l'hayshtar ma'alyo, v'lichtov tavra l'mocher, kol shtari de yifgun al arada psulin lebar min di yafuk bizman ada. Let Beis Din give Reuven, who sold me the land, a shover. Let them give him a receipt that says it's only if silver produces shtar number 2 that you are chayiv to honor the achrayas clause. But if it produces shtar number 1, you're not chayiv to honor the achrayas clause. What do we see from here? In Kosvin Shover, the Rabbos say we do not write receipts. We do not write receipts. Now, what does that mean, we do not write receipts? Take a quick look at the last Rashbam on Amud Aleph before you turn the page. Listen to this. You'll say to yourself, what's the downside of writing a shover, the downside of writing such a receipt? So both saying, there's a big downside. The big downside is, because that's what we said yesterday. If let's say you're Reuven, so right, Reuven sold me the property. I went ahead and I lost my document. I now want to go to Beis Din. I need Beis Din to reconstruct my document. And I want my achrayas clause in there, because that achrayas clause, that's my insurance. I want the achrayas clause. So what happens? I have a very simple eitz to Beis Din. You're worried about the fact that I'm going to have two shtaros with achrayas. I may inappropriately use the first one. No problem. Just give Reuven, the seller, a receipt that says you're only obligated to honor the achrayas clause if what? If silver shows up with shtar number 2. That's great for me. But who about it does that put at a disadvantage? Reuven. Why? because now Reuven has a piece of paper that he has to watch over. See, Rabbi said, writing a shover sounds like a nice approach, except that it places the onus on Reuven. Now, Reuven has an obligation to go ahead and safeguard this shover. So Rabbi said, it's quite possible that the halacha says, in close control, when we say we don't write receipts, what that means is, if I am the purchaser, the onus is on me to watch my document. If I do not do a good job and I'm not vigilant in guarding my document, so that's it, we're done. Unfortunately, what I've done is Beis Din will go ahead and reconstruct for me a deed of ownership, but they will not reconstruct for me, ultimately, again, an achrayis clause. So Rabbi says, so therefore, Halacha L'maaseh, the Gemara is suggesting over here, is that this opinion would seem to reflect in kos v'n shover. Again, we're going to discuss that machlokas. I'm a Beis. Amar lu, they said no. It could be about that generally we actually do write receipts. I asked what's happening over here. V'hacha haynu taima the dilma azel balchov v'tarif minei delokeach. What we're concerned over here is the following. We're concerned about the following case. So let's say in under normal circumstances we would write a shover. We would write a receipt. As I say again, so we would give the seller, we'll call him Reuven, we would give the seller a piece of paper that says that it's only if silver brings shtar number 2 that you achayiv to honor the achrayis clause. But if it brings shtar number 1, you are not chayiv to honor the achrayis clause. Aye, but what's the issue over here? V'hachlu hayne taima. Here, Rabbi Yossi, we're explaining that the following. The dilma azul bal chov, because we'll say maybe the creditor of Reuven, the seller, will come along. V'tarif minei delokeach. And ultimately, again, we'll seize the property that I purchased from Reuven. Va'azel ihu v'taref l'kuchos. And I will say, ultimately, again, I will come along, and then what? Because the creditor of Reuven seized property from me, I'm going to what? I'm going to, in turn, seize property. I'm going to, in turn, seize property from other people whom Reuven sold to. Okay. V'shover gabi l'kuchos leka. And I will say, here's the problem. See, the shover works fine, I will say, when what? When what? When I, so remember, the shover works fine when Reuven's creditor sees his property from me, and then what? I go to Reuven. Then I will say, Reuven has the receipt, and he can see which star I'm showing up with. But let's say I bypass Reuven. After the creditor sees this from me, who do I go to? I go to other people whom Reuven sold property to, and I seize property from them. I both say, those individuals don't have the shofar. Therefore, those individuals are technically exploitable through two shtaros that I possess with achrayis. To which the Gemara says, v'shofar gabi l'kuchos leka, sof sof, l'kuchos lav amari da'ara hadri. So we'll say, but again, at the end of the day, even if that's true, when I go ahead and I go and I seize property from the Lekuchos, from people who Reuven sold to, who are they going to go to? They're going to go back to Reuven, right? Now, once they go back to Reuven, then Reuven's going to be able to say, okay, silver, which star did you seize property with? And if indeed I use star number 1, Reuven could see that I did something illegal and bring me to base. And the Gemara says, that's fine, but ad hachi v'hachi shamet v'achal peri. We'll say, that's fine, except in the interim, in other words, while this process is occurring, what could I do? I could go ahead and utilize the land and consume all of the peros on the land. In other words, even if it's true that Lamais at the end of the day, all roads lead back to Reuven, and Reuven can see if I'm illegally using shtar number 1, that still gives me a lot of time to deplete the resources of the property. Inami, therefore, the other possibility is lokeach shel b'achrayis. We could be talking about a case of a purchaser, but I'll say other purchasers I could be seizing property from other people whom Reuven sold to, but he sold to them without achrayis. We'll say, if that's the case, and it's without achrayis, then what? They'll never go back to Reuven. If they never go back to Reuven, then it's possible that I could exploit and I could use shtar number 1 and double dip. Ihaki, if that's the case, shtari halvoa nami. We'll say, if that's the case, then you can make the same claim with loan documents as well, not just with shtar mekach or memkar, to which the Gemara says, hasam zuze maski. So both say, because there was money lent, so the Gemara says, amari faise balchov bezuzi. So we'll say, ultimately, again, we assume that ultimately the lochim, the purchasers, will be appeased with money. Hacha da'are masik. And we'll say, but over here where land was given, made the yadi demand the masik ara bezuzi lo mefayis. People know about say that those who went ahead and purchased land will not be appeased with money. So the Gemara goes, Aitra, Amar Mar, So Rabbo says, now let's go back. So essentially what we've established, Rabbo says, is the following. What we've established is, and we seem to be kind of pushing in the direction of paskening like the Rabbanon, namely, if I show up in Beis Din, Rabbo says, and I claim that I lost my document of sale, I purchased a field from Reuven, I lost the document. I bring witnesses. Witnesses say, silver bought it from Reuven. We wrote the shtar. We signed on the shtar. We delivered the shtar. Beis Din will go ahead and reconstruct my document with the exception of what? Achrayus. We will not write the Achrayus clause in there. And again, because of what we've established, Rabbi says, the ability to exploit that. Because if it turns out that what? That Lamaisa, I'm really hiding the first document, I could potentially double dip and see some Reuven's other purchasers twice. In order to avoid that, we'll give you the deed of sale that shows that you're the owner, but no Achrayus. Now the Gemara says, okay. Amar Mar, Chusmin Achrayus Shabo, Heichi Kasvinon. So we'll say, how do we write such a document like that? In other words, what does that document look like? Amar Rav Nachman, Diksidi Hachi. Rav Nachman says, this is what it looks like. Shtara Dinar. So we'll say, here's the text. Vishtar, Delo Lamekbi Bey, Lomi Meshabadi, Lomi Mechari. We based in hereby write this document. This document does not entitle silver to collect from encumbered property, unencumbered property. So we'll say, if this document does not go ahead and allow me to collect from encumbered property or unencumbered property, then what does it do? We'll say, one simple thing. It attests to my ownership. So if Reuven were to come along and say, I never sold that property to Reuven, to Silber, we would have a document that says that is untrue. So we'll say, what Beis Din will do is, Beis Din will reconstruct a document that affirms my ownership, but will not give me achrayus. Amar Rafim, so we'll say, Rafim says, what do we see from here? Zosomeres, achrayus tos soferho. So we'll say, there's a general machlokas, which we've discussed before, which is the following. Do we assume that every sale of real estate has an automatic achrayus in it? As well as I do, we assume that under normal circumstances, when I purchase land from Reuven, it's understood, it's implicit in the sale, that Reuven agrees to guarantee my purchase, even if what? Even if the land that I bought from him is seized by one of his pre-existing creditors. So do we assume that achrayus is implicit in every single transaction? Or do we say, no, it's not implicit at all? It's only part of the transaction if what? If what? If it's explicitly articulated. So Raphim says, you see from here, that achrayus tosof erbosa, which means that if a shtar does not make explicit mention of achrayus, we just assume that that's scribal error. Scribal error. But the document means that there is achrayus included. How do we know this? Time of the Kasav Lehachi, Halo Kasav Lehachagavi, because we'll say, look at the shtar. The shtar that we're writing over here, Abu Sa'id, explicitly says that there's no achrayus. What do you see from here? That in order to have a transaction, a real estate transaction, without achrayus, what do you have to do? You have to explicitly say there is no achrayus. Which tells me that if I did not include this explicit clause, then what? We would assume there is achrayus. Rav Ashi Amar Achrayus Lav Tosofer. Rav Ashi says, no. What was it? That we do not assume the omission of achrayus is a scribal error. Rather, Rabbi said the only time that there's achrayus in a document is when? It's if it's explicitly written in it. Umay chutz mi achrayus shebo. So we'll say, what does this document mean when it says, with the exception of achrayus, to look siv be achrayus? The document is just making mention that what? That achrayus sabosai is not included here. But in Achinami, Rav Ashi says that achrayus sabosai is only assumed to be part of a document if explicitly written in. But we do not imply that there's achrayus if it's not explicitly stated. Hahi isisa, diyabile zuzi lahu gabra, lemizban le ara. What's another interesting case? There was a particular woman who gave money to a man to purchase for her property. So we'll say what happens. Azul zabin lo shaloba achrayus. So the shaliach went ahead and purchased property for her, but he purchased property for her without achrayus. So in other words, he purchased real estate for her, but without a guarantee. She was upset. She was upset because, again, she did not feel this was appropriate. She wanted the land, but she wanted the land with achrayus, with a guarantee. So they came before Rav Nachman. Asa kemid Rav Nachman. Amarlei Rav Nachman says, the woman has a taina against her. She could claim, I sent you to for my benefit, but not for my detriment. In other words, I sent you as my shaliach ultimately again to carry out this real estate transaction on my behalf in a beneficial way. You did so in a detrimental way. So we'll say, so what's the resolution over here? So Rav Nachman says something amazing. Rav Nachman said, Zil zabne mine shelo ba'achrayis. So he said to the shaliach, shaliach, you go ahead and you need to purchase this property yourself from the seller without achrayis. V'hadr zabne nehila ba'achrayis. And then resell it to the woman with achrayis. So we'll say, so this is a very, meaning, this is a very, very, very strange case. See what's happening over here? The shaliach did something wrong. He went against the wishes of the principal. He bought it with arachrayis. Rav Nachman Shita seems to be okay. You now buy it from the principal, from the seller with arachrayis, and resell it to the woman with arachrayis. So what's the pshat? We'll say, first of all, we know that in any case where a shaliach acts against the wishes of the mishaliach, we'll say, what happens? The shlichos is cancelled. So listen to this. So Rosa, this case is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. So this is in Kuf Pei Beis. Sivav. Listen to this case. Nosan Maos Lishlucho Liknos Lokarka. The Kanal Shlobachrayis. Hare Zavus. Vashliach Lokeach Osala Asmo Shlobachrayis. Kimoshasa. Vachozer Mochel Mishalech Bachrayis. Hurl Vakana Osama Maosa Vachrayis Ala Shaliach. So I'll say, so the Mechaber quotes Talocha as stated in the Gemara. Naming that in this case, where the Shaliach bought it with Arachrayis, the Shaliach then buys it directly from the seller, right, then resells it to the Mishaleach, but resells it with the Mishaleach, ultimately again with Achrayas. So the Rama says, what's happening over here? He says, V'davka, Shamishaleach, Masbik Atzma Ba'achrayas HaShaliach, V'rotze V'kim HaMekach, Avalim Eino Masbik Atzma Lozeh, V'rotze L'vatel, HaRushus B'yador. So the Rama gives two qualifications. Number one, this is assuming the Mishaleach is happy with this arrangement. But if the Mishaleach is not happy with this arrangement, then what? Then the Mishaleach has the right to simply void the Shlichus. Furthermore, the Yesh Omrim, the Davka She'in Lo L'Shaleach L'Hachzir Ma'osa L'Mishaleach. Aval Im Rotza L'Hachzir Ma'osa Rishus V'Yadar. We'll say, furthermore, the Rama says that if the Shaliach says, you know what, I'm sorry, I messed up, here is your money back, the Shaliach has the ability to do so as well. The Rama posits that if the money is still there, in other words, the Mishaleach, let's say the Shaliach could give back the money to the Mishaleach, then he could void the whole Shlichus. So the Rama says there are two qualifications here. Number one, this case only works if the Mishaleach is happy with this arrangement, or number two, that the Shaliach does not have access to the money. But if the Mishaleach is not happy with this setup, the Mishaleach could void the Shlichus, or if the Shaliach is not happy with this arrangement, and the Shaliach could refund the money, bless you, then the Shaliach has the ability to do that as well. Fine. But let's just go a little bit right, and we'll have to stop. Rav Shimon Gamliel, Omer, Nosi Mataron Lechavero, Ve'echsulas Ashtar, Chazra Mataraso, Ve'chom Mataraso Kaimah. So we'll remember again, we saw on the bright side, on Amud Aleph, Kusam Tas Amud Aleph, that what? Rav Shimon Gamliel says that if I give someone a gift, and I convey that gift with a shtar, then what happens when the recipient returns the shtar? They return the gift as well. My time with Rav Shimon Gamliel. So what's Rav Shimon Gamliel's logic? I'm Rabasi Nasek Omer Lo Sade Zuna Suna Lecha Kozman Shashtar Biyadcha, because it's as if that the giver is saying this gift is yours as long as the shtar is in your hand. Maskef La Rabbi. Rabbi says, really? Ihochi Nignav O Avad Nami. If that's the case, then what happens if the let's say the recipient loses the shtar, or the shtar is stolen, they no longer have the shtar? Does that mean that Halacha LaMaisa again they no longer own the gift? Rather, says the Gemara, Ela Amar Rabba Baosios Niknos BeMesira Kamiflagi. Rather, Rabbo said the machlokis over here is, can you convey ownership of something simply by giving over the document? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Savra Osios Niknos BeMesira. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel holds that yes, you can convey ownership to something, Rabbo said, by simply giving over the document. For Rabbanan Savri ain't Osios Niknos BeMesira. And Rabbanan say no, Rabbo say. So Rabbo say Osios Niknos BeMesira means in a shtar, it's not the document that's valuable; it's what's written in the document that's valuable. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, when you give over the document, you give over that which is written in the document as well. Versus the Rabbanon who say no. Giving over a document by itself does not affect a transaction, but rather, again, some supplemental kinyan is necessary as well. Rabbanon will stop over. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this machlokes tomorrow.